ability to stand where the Lord has given you before the Lord's people on this day. To my co-laborers in the gospel, and to you, the Lord's awaiting congregation. Our text for this morning involves the grandsons of Abraham. But in order to grasp our text, we must journey back in the scriptures to understand the covenant promise.
All right.
In Genesis chapter 17, God established a covenant between himself and Abram when he was 99 years old. God said to Abram, "Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life." And in return, God promised to multiply his seed, that he would become the father of many nations. And in fact, it was at that moment that he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He said, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings will come from thee." This covenant that God made was not just with Abraham, but it was also with Abraham's seed after him. It was an everlasting covenant to be a God unto him and to his seed. He also gave them the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And the ask of God was that every man child among you be circumcised. Now, this circumcision of the flesh was only an outward symbol of what was to be done in the heart of Abraham and his seed. God then promised that he would give him a male child of his own lineage. He would give him Isaac, and the covenant would pass to Isaac as the seed of Abraham. God said in Genesis 17 and 21, he said, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac." Because we know, we've heard and we know that Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. And just like in their circumstance, the same is such in our circumstances, that when we try to help God out, it doesn't turn out so well. But God, his covenant word. So we know as time went on and Isaac was born, there was strife between Ishmael and Isaac. And so Sarah said, "You need to put Hagar and Ishmael, put them out, put them away." And God told Abraham, he says, "Do as Sarah said, because my promise is with Isaac." And as Isaac became of age, Abraham fulfilled his portion of what he was supposed to do, and he circumcised Isaac, because that was his part of the covenant agreement. In Genesis chapter 22, we see God confirms again his covenant with Abraham. This was following the journey of Abraham and Isaac up Mount Moriah when God tested Abraham's faith. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. And just as he raised the knife, the Lord called out to him. And he said, Abraham, do thy son no harm. Yeah. And Abraham looked up, and in the bush was a ram. Yeah. 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 But what I like about it, Isaac, you know, kids, they're intuitive and they observe things. Uh-huh. And Isaac had asked his dad, he said, I see the wood. But where is the sacrifice? And Abraham, the faithful servant that he was, he said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And we know that he did. And in that day, Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who will provide.
Yeah, yeah.
Abraham passes away. And he leaves everything that he has to Isaac. Mm-hmm. As the elder son. The son of promise.
Yeah, yeah.
Isaac marries Rebekah. When he's 40, Rebekah is barren, and Isaac entreats the Lord on behalf of his wife, and she conceives twins. And Rebekah could feel a stirring in her womb, and so she inquired of the Lord. And the Lord tells her that there are two nations in her womb. One shall be stronger than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger. Now we know that according to Jewish custom, that's not the way that it was supposed to be. For the elder son had a prestigious position in the family line. And so the twins were born. The firstborn was Esau. Esau was red and he was hairy. And the secondborn was Jacob. As Esau was trying to come out of the womb, Jacob laid hold of Esau's heel.
Yeah.
And that's where Jacob got his name. His name is the supplanter.
Yeah.
That means to trip you up or to throw you over.
Yeah.
And they grew, both boys grew. Esau was a skilled hunter, and Jacob, he preferred to stay at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Isaac loved Esau because he loved to eat the venison that he made.
Mm-hmm.
But Rebekah loved Jacob. We could even say he might have been a mama's boy. This brings us to the text for this morning. You see, the elder son should get preferential treatment. In the passing of the father, the headship of the family passed to him. He got a double portion of the inheritance. But what was most precious about this elder son is that he would inherit the covenant promise that had passed from Abraham to Isaac. Now, there is no other recording in biblical history where there was a selling of the birthright. You see, it was more than the title to the family's inheritance. It involved the spiritual position for the family. It was the place of that covenant status, that covenant between God and the family, where God said, I am going to be a God for thee and to thee. Esau, as that son, he rejected that promise. John 1, 12 through 13, it tells us, but as many have received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's not a matter of being born. It's not about the blood and the lineage, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When we look at Esau, we see that he sold out. You see, he did not regard the things that were important to God. And when we look at our lives, we need to see if we're measuring up in that space. Are the things that are important to God important to you? You see, it's Jacob, he went about it the wrong way. But Jacob was willing to do whatever it takes to be a partaker in that was of God. Micah 6 and verse 8 says, oh man, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Esau failed to recognize the real value of God's covenant agreement. You see, his temporal needs were of higher importance than those of his spiritual needs. What does that look like, preacher? What does that look like today? What that looks like is a man that's willing to throw away a covenant agreement with his wife for a one-night stand. That's what that looks like. What does this look like? This looks like when you have a mind that God gave you, but you're willing to throw it away by drowning it in a bottle or giving it away with a pill. That's what this looks like. You see, the value is not in the stuff, but the value is in the perpetual presence of the Lord in your life. We should not take it lightly. For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But for as many of us that have been baptized in Christ, we have to put on Christ. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, it told us that there are some things that we need to put off. We need to put off sexual immorality. We need to put off talking about one another. We need to put off lying. We need to put on love. We need to love one another. Esau sold out. He gave up something precious for something worthless. When we look around today, there are far too many in the household of faith that are selling out for that which is worthless. There are far too many that would rather have silver and gold than to have the Lord, who's able to mold our lives. He's able to lead us to a better place. But when we put on Christ, we are not just Christ's seed, but we're also Abraham's seed. And that means that we are heirs to that self-same promise. There's nothing more precious than having the presence of God in our lives. There's a song that says, it says, "Don't give me a mansion on top of a hill. Don't give me the world with its shallow thrills, but just give me Jesus. My life he can mold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." Esau was the son of promise. He was the elder brother that shirked his responsibility. In fact, in Hebrews 12, it says that Esau was declared a profane person. You see, because he sold his birthright for one morsel, he would have inherited the blessing. But he found no place of repentance, even though he sought it in tears. But I'm so glad today that I have an elder brother whose name is Jesus. He did not sell his birthright. For my Bible tells me that when he was but 12 years old, he was found in the temple teaching. He was found in the temple telling others about his father. And when his natural parents came to him and asked him, he says, "We were looking for you, Jesus." And he says, "But I have to be about my father's business." It's that self-same Jesus that grew in stature and in favor with God. He went about doing good. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. 5,000 hungry souls he fed. He made the lame to walk and he allowed the mute to talk. It's Jesus. It is he. It is him. He lived for 33 long years, but only one fright. He journeyed up a hill called Golgotha. And he went to Calvary to die for your sins and for mine. But it was he, this Jesus of Calvary, he ensured that whosoever has the right to that inheritance, that stored up in heaven where it will not perish, it will not spoil, and it will not fade away. You see that Jesus? Yes, they stretched him wide and he hung his head and he died. They buried him.
Name above every name. We know that. be someone here today.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
That has not accepted you as their personal
Savior. Yeah, yeah.
Today is the day. Today. Hallelujah. Give your life.
Glory, 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 glory.
Don't be like Esau.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Don't reject him. Come on.